What's up, Atlanta? How's everybody doing on a Wednesday? We got a little shorty show tonight. I'm with you till approximately 7:55. Adjust your clocks then, because we got Corky Kell Classic High School kickoff right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Not just tonight. How about the next two nights right here on 92.9 The Game? Love that. And our boys, Sam Crenshaw and Chris Parker, coach, going to be on the call tonight. Looking forward to hearing from them as we kick off the high school football season here in the great city of Atlanta and the great state of Georgia. But we got to talk some pro ball. Oh, my. Everybody was kung fu fighting. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. What a scene at Flowery Branch today. And our quarterback, that's right, that's my quarterback. My quarterback was in the middle of it. Michael Penix Jr. was scrapping. I don't know how much scrapping he actually did, but he was in the scrum. He was in the middle of the scrum. Day two, Titans got their front whooped yesterday at Flowery Branch, and they came out. Oh, they were talking. They were talking. And reports are Michael Penix didn't take none too kindly to what was being said directed at him specifically. And then we got to brawling. And offensive linemen, defensive linemen, there was a lot of big bodies, a lot of man meat in the middle of that pile. Hundreds, if not thousands of pounds, just getting after it. And that was the headline from today's practice. Falcons continue to look good. Penix continues to look good. But the story of the day from Flowery Branch is this skirmish involving QB1. Now, thankfully, nothing happened. There were no injuries. There were no broken bones. There was no reported tears to come from this fight. But they got after it. And I heard on Dukes and Bell, they were saying, you know, the idea of two-day joint practices might be a little much, because on that second day, things tend to go like they did today. You get a little chirpy, you get a little feisty. You know, in the NFL, it's one and done. There's no series in the NFL. You play 60 minutes, and you take your ball and go home. Because if it was any more than that, things might get a little personal out there, as they apparently did today with Michael Penix Jr. But I love it. Because that just goes along. Now, I don't love Michael Penix being involved in a skirmish. Get him out of there. But what I do love is this continued theme of a ramped up, high energy, high drama camp from the Falcons. From James Pierce Jr. to Jalen Walker to Matt Bergeron and everybody else getting involved. I love to see it. And so should you. I love this renewed exuberance, vibrant energy coming out of Flowery Branch. I love it, and I want to see that translate. And you know what? It translated to the first preseason game, and we'll see if it translates to the second preseason game, which will be right here again, coverage starting at 5 o'clock on Friday against the Titans on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So I'm pumped. I love hearing this. Get after it. And from all accounts, Falcons won the week. Titans did have a bit of a bounce back today, but overall, we'll ask Myles Garrett coming up in 15 minutes. He was there on site, boots on the ground. We'll talk to Joe Patrick tomorrow. He was there on site, boots on the ground. We'll get you covered, pillar to post, as we always do. But from all accounts I've been reading, Falcons won this one, these joint practices. So we'll see what that means in terms of who plays on Friday, who doesn't. Michael Penix Jr. not expected to play. Kirk Cousins still up in the air. We also got an update potentially on Darnell Mooney. We'll let you hear that as well. But Michael Penix Jr. did take to the mic after the game, and this is what he said about the skirmish that occurred today at Flowery Branch.
Competitive, threw a deep pass. They had a lot of words throughout practice, so I gave my words, and Just went a little bit too far. I don't know. I was somebody else. I don't really remember. That's not something that we want to be doing in practice. We want to get our reps in, you know, get that good work in. But it went how it went. But to see the team have my back and they were there, make sure they protect me. A lot of guys asked me if I was good, and it was good to know that those guys got my back. So I don't know where I was at in it. It was a lot of people. I know I was down there somewhere. I wasn't the only one, though.
It looked like when everything was calming down, you kind of didn't mind going over and giving them a few more words, and the teammate kind of held you back.
Nah, I really don't remember what happened. That was somebody else out there.
They were so used to seeing you like calm, cool, and collected.
Yeah, that's me.
Yes. So.
That's me. I don't know what that was.
I like it. Let the big dog eat, man. If QB1's going to run like that, you know what's going to happen? The rest of the team is going to follow suit. And they did. Everybody was out there. Matthew Bergeron, who I don't think I've ever seen tweet in my entire life, tweeted out today, "That's my quarterback." That's right. That's Money Mike. That's Money Mike. That's the real Money Mike right now. He's about to steal that nickname. Although Harris has been playing a lot better of late, so that's not fair. But he was Money Mike today. He was also talking about, "Hey, man, I've never been in the middle of a scuffle like that before."
I don't remember. I'll tell you, I don't be remembering. Like, it's just beast. I don't know who that is. I don't remember, to be honest.
What's it like that?
I don't think I had that on the field before. I've never had that situation on the field before.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was.
Not on the field, yeah.
Yeah, apparently, again, there were shots being called, names being called, and Penix said enough is enough, and that was it, and you love it. Now, that should be it. This shouldn't be a repeated pattern that we undergo here from Michael Penix Jr. I'm glad we got it. It inspired the team, and hopefully that continues on Friday. He was also asked about Kirk Cousins and their relationship going on throughout camp.
Oh, it's been great. Like, he knows a lot. Like, he's seen a lot, you know, in his 13 years of playing. And, you know, he's definitely somebody who I can ask questions to. And he's always there quick to respond and, you know, give me his insight and what he's seen in the past and how I could operate at a high level to go out there and be successful. So he's been great for not just me, but his team as well. He's been a great leader. So
one more before we get out of here. And that's good to hear. And, again, that's been the consistent messaging from everyone involved, that Kirk is playing ball, he's doing what he needs to do. And if he continues to do that, that'll be all the more things that other teams will want to see in terms of a potential trade. Last one from Cousins here, from Penix. He says, "I don't think about my previous injury history when I go out there and play ball."
Yeah, man, I don't really focus on it no more. Like I talked about it before, like in my past, like 2021 was a tough season for me because I was thinking about injuries. I wasn't able to play at a high level because that's something where my mind was, and I wasn't able to you know, play at the level that I wanted to. But now it's like, man, I've been injured 4 times. You know, I just pray, trusting my faith and trust that God's going to protect me. I go out there and have fun because at any moment it could be my last play. You know, and that's for anybody. That's the game that we play. We know it comes with a lot, but we all love it. That's why we do it each and every day, and that's why I'm going to continue to do it each and every day.
He's right. You can't think about it because if you do, then you stutter step here, stutter step there. And that's the difference between a touchdown and an interception. So that's the skinny of what was going down at Falcons practice today. We'll get even more inside look coming up here in less than 5 minutes on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as Myles Garrett of Fox 5 TV was at practice today. He'll join me next. We'll speak with Joe Patrick tomorrow. So plenty, all the Falcons coverage you need, fit to print. Right here, or fit for radio, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It's Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you till 7:55. Back with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Chris Thomas, Turtle, taking you up until the start of the second Corky Kell game of the evening, which we got for you right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Our guys, Coach and Sam Crenshaw, will be on the call. But we got to talk about right now on the WayForward.com hotline what went down at Flowery Branch today. Myles Garrett of Fox 5 Sports host and reporter. Miles, from your vantage point, how did this all go down? QB1 was involved. It was an absolute chaotic scene today at Flowery Branch, from everything I understand.
Yeah, no, and it's funny. That was just one of a few different skirmishes that happened today. And, of course, that's just the one that caught all the eyeballs because, yes, it involved Michael Penix Jr. But, no, as far as that one is concerned, yeah, no, I mean, it was a deep throw to Ray-Ray McCloud, conceivably for a touchdown. In the words of Michael Penix Jr., it was a play that, you know, some guys were chirping. He decided to chirp back, and one thing kind of led to another. And, you know, I was kind of looking at where the ball was, Ray-Ray McCloud. I noticed a scuffle going on and checked over there. And lo and behold, Michael Penix Jr. is in a little skirmish with somebody. I see his helmet go off. He's at the bottom of a pile. It was a pretty intense little fight there. You know, cooler heads prevailed. Both sides came over there and broke it up. But, yeah, just a handful of different fights. Casey Washington was involved in one. Caleb McGarry. There was a few different skirmishes there today.
What did you make of Michael Penix Jr.'s comments after the game, talking about his appreciation for the team, having his back and everything like that? It sounds like it was a unified front.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And, of course, that's always what you want when it's your quarterback, right? I mean, you always want – I mean, there's a reason why the guy's wearing a red jersey. He is a guy that cannot be touched no matter what in these joint practices, even though some of these guys are not supposed to be hitting. They're still getting some tackling in. But yeah, at the end of the day, you don't want your quarterback to take any unnecessary shots, especially with a guy like Michael Penix Jr., who has had a little bit of that injury history back in college. But football is football at the end of the day. And his teammates did come to his back, which he credited a lot. You know, he likes that he has the backing of his team, and what a quarterback wouldn't, right? I mean, that's what you want at the end of the day, a team that sticks up for your starting quarterback. I don't care who it is, whether it was Desmond Ridder or Marcus Mariota, you stand up for your quarterback, and the Falcons did that today.
So now the expectation comes, Miles, as that he will not play in the second preseason game. But it sounds like, based on what Raheem Morris said, the door has been left over for potentially Kirk Cousins to walk through.
Yeah, he didn't necessarily shut that door. I don't expect to see him play, but there has not been a definitive yes or no on whether or not Kirk will play, which is saying something, because there has been a definite no in regards to guys like Michael Penix Jr., conceivably, you know, Bijan Robinson, Drake London, all those other starters you kind of have penciled in there. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see what Kirk can bring to the table. He had a pretty good day at practice today. Again, some of his throws were on the shorter side. You know, he wasn't really spreading the ball downfield too much. He had a couple decent throws there, but nothing that was, you know, crazy, I'd say. But at the end of the day, you know, you do want to see what you have in your backup quarterback option. We got a decent look at Easton Stick in that first game against the Lions, and, you know, a little bit of Emory Jones as well. But at the end of the day, if nothing changes, Kirk Cousins is your backup quarterback, and I'd imagine you'd want to see him get a little bit of reps in the preseason.
When it comes to the rest of the practice today, outside of those skirmishes, how did everybody look?
Yeah, I'd say today, Chris, was more of a more balanced day. You know, yesterday, I think it was pretty across the board that the Falcons won the afternoon. I mean, that you can look at the Titans interviews. They basically said the exact same thing. They kind of got punched in the mouth yesterday. So today was a little bit more balanced. The Titans, again, I think there's a reason why there was more of those fights that we saw, because I think the Titans came out a little bit more, chippier than they did yesterday. The battles with A.J. Terrell and Calvin Ridley were pretty good. I'd say Ridley got the best of A.J. today. But outside of that, Michael Penix Jr. didn't have his best day overall, all things considered. I think even before that fight, I think he was doing a little bit better. I think after the fight is when he kind of slowed down just a bit. But credit to the Titans defensive line. You know, they were getting some pressures on him early. As far as the throws themselves, Penix missed Drake London a couple times and some short throws. Again, it's practice. Take that as you will. But not the best day for him. Casey Washington, once again, to me, is catching most of everybody's eye on this beat, I would say, just because he seemingly has locked up. I don't want to say locked up. That's really a strong word there. But things are looking good for Casey Washington in that number four wide receiver spot when Darnell Mooney, of course, returns. He has a lot of repertoire with Penix. You know, they spoke about that specifically today, coming in that rookie class together. And, you know, the reps he's been able to get in Mooney's absence, you've been able to really notice out there on the field. So he's been the one catching the most eyeballs. He continued that again today.
Talking all things Falcons today at Flowery Branch with our good buddy Miles Garrett. Make sure you check him out on Fox 5. All right, do you feel like you saw enough to be satisfied with the state of the offense. We'll start with the offense, that if they don't play in the preseason, that you got a good enough look at what they could potentially be.
Gosh, that's a really tough question, Chris, because, I mean, again, you want to see these guys get some reps. And I think back to last year, you know, that first game against Pittsburgh, the offense did come out looking a little sluggish. Now, you can credit that to new offensive scheme with Zach Robinson, Kirk Cousins, the injury, what have you. At the end of the day, that's kind of what these preseason games are for, right? You want to get some reps in and sort of, you know, get these guys used to playing live action scrimmage play, you know, against one another where tackling is involved. You know, you're in a game environment. So, you know, without tackling and going full speed, I'd say, yeah, this offense does look pretty good. I like what I've seen from training camp thus far of what this Zach Robinson scheme is doing. You've got Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts out in the flex, kind of putting them in positions to succeed. But at the end of the day, you got to see what these guys look like in live game reps. And Raheem Morris, Michael Penix, all these guys seem to think they are comfortable in this regard when it comes to that. But we won't find out until that first game against Tampa Bay.
No, you're 100% right. When it comes to the back end of the defense, what have you been seeing there? I know there's some competitions going on with some vets and some young guys.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's going to be really interesting out there, especially in the secondary, you know, talking about the two new rookies there with Xavier Watts and Billy Bowman Jr. Both those guys have had their share of working in with the ones, which is obviously what you want to see, especially a guy like Xavier Watts, who came in with a pretty high regard out of Notre Dame. But, you know what you're getting with AJ, you know what you're getting with Jesse, you know, Jordan Fuller is, I think, your penciled in starter for now at free safety opposite Jesse. But outside of that, yeah, I mean, Xavier Watts has looked pretty decent. He's still a rookie, still learning. Billy Bowman has really shined on special teams, I'd say. D. Alford, you know, speaking about guys that had a pretty good practice, I'd say he had a pretty good practice this afternoon. He had a pretty good interception to the Falcons defense, forced a little bit of pressure on Cam Ward. He was able to have a nice toe tap sideline interception. So pretty good camp, I'd say, out of all those guys. I'd say Natron Brooks, kind of an reported guy, for lack of a better term, that has had a pretty good camp thus far. He had a pretty good game, I think, against the Lions, all things considered. Another guy I'm trying to think of, maybe not on the back end, but Josh Woods is another guy in that linebacking core that was all over the field in that Lions game. So he was a guy that really stood out to me. Again, you're not seeing these starters play yet. You know, we've talked night and day about James Pierce Jr. and what he's been able to do. So we kind of know what we're getting at there at that point. As far as the back end of the secondary, that's what I've seen so far.
When it comes to the front of the defensive line, what did you get to see from JPJ and Jalen Walker out there? Did they look like they were holding their own?
Jalen Walker is a guy that has seemingly been a little bit slower than, you know, James Pierce Jr., all things considered. James Pierce looks a little bit more fine-tuned when it comes to that pass rushing type skill. Jalen Walker, you know, he was excellent at Georgia when it came to run stopping, and you've seen a little bit of that in camp so far. I think it's the position that he's in right now, sort of that edge rusher, linebacker, you know, hybrid type role, where he's kind of moving all over the field, learning Jeff Ulbrich's defense. I'm expecting him to have a little bit of a slower start, just at least what I've seen in camp so far, and you can kind of credit that to maybe the hamstring injury that was kind of holding him back for a little bit. But I'm not concerned with either one of those guys, especially James Pierce, just from what I've seen so far. And Jalen Walker, we know what he can bring to the table. I think with him, it's more of a developmental thing at this point. I think he's just working on understanding the system and getting his feet wet and not, you know, thinking as much as playing than, you know, some other guys right now.
Right now, based on what's being said at camp, do you think we'll see Darnell Mooney week one?
Michael Penix Jr. seemed to suggest that today. I will say Raheem Morris has not hinted at what time that might be. Penix briefly mentioned it when I can't remember if he was asked specifically about it or if he brought it up. I want to say he brought it up, but he did kind of briefly touch on the fact that, yeah, you know, expecting to see Mooney week one. So take that with what you will. That is his quarterback. I'm sure these guys are talking in the locker room behind the scenes. You know, I imagine they've got a better idea than we do as far as what these players' health issues or non-issues might be. I don't expect him to miss a lot of time. It's just, I feel like with what Raheem Morris has said in some of these press conferences, it's kind of given pause on when that date might be because he hasn't given one. So I think that's kind of been the cause of concern there.
It sounds like from everything I've been reading and looking online, like I know you mentioned Casey Washington, but a shout-out to Ray McLeod, who seems to be catching almost everything thrown his way as well.
Yeah, no, the speedster, he's getting down the field. That wide receiver set right now, at least, you know, with Mooney out, it's been Drake, it's been Ray, it's been Casey, and it's been Kadarius Hodge, you know. So all those guys have kind of been out there in a four-wide set. I'd say Kyle Pitts has kind of moved into a de facto receiver-type role-ish. You know, he's been working with the receivers specifically, and I've been seeing him out wide a lot more. So, you know, at this point, I'd kind of consider him a little bit more of a receiver than a tight end.
Before I let you go, this might be a tough question to answer just based on when and how you were watching, but have you seen Warner on the field at the same time with Pitts?
Charlie Warner, yeah. No, if I can recall correctly, I'm not sure if I was looking for it specifically, but from what I can recall, I do think I've seen both those guys on the field at the same time.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see if they deploy that personnel set more often than they did last year. Miles, appreciate the time as always. Good stuff. Appreciate you checking in from camp. We'll talk soon.
Talk soon, Chris. See ya.
All right, that is Miles Garrett there of Fox 5. When we get back, we got a bunch of interviews from you to hear today, as we have been playing all throughout Falcons training camp, which it's crazy to think, came and went. Just like that. Today was our last time being up at Flowery Branch as a radio station. D'Angelo Malone stopped by the midday show today. He's been a guy that's been all over the field in the preseason so far, making plays. We'll let you hear what he had to say to our guys in the middays next as we roll on. Chris Thomas tonight, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you for about another hour here. We'll get you set for the Corky Kell Classic with our buddies Sam and the coach, Sam Crenshaw and Chris Parker on the call right here for some high school ball on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The theme of the day, fighting. First rule of Fight Club, you don't talk about Fight Club. Does that apply to Flowery Branch? I don't know. But we are talking about it regardless on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Michael Penix Jr. did meet the media after practice. I let you hear about his thoughts on the fighting and everybody getting his back and how he loved to see that. But he also talked about a bunch of other stuff that I wanted you to hear, including on this revamped defensive line. This was QB1's thoughts on the D-line.
Yeah, man, it's been great. Like, all them boys been doing a great job. You know, we got a lot of leaders all around this team. Obviously, Jesse, he's been playing at a high level. You know, AJ, all those guys, man. You got not just David, but even the young guys. You got TQ as well, an older guy. But you got young guys. You got Rook and Dorless, those guys on the inside, you know, making causing some disruption in the offense. You know, it's going to be great to see come game day, week one, and to see all season. So I can't wait to see those boys, you know, continue to get better each and every day.
Oren, what's my line? They better. That defensive line that they invested all those draft picks in, second-round picks, third-round picks, first-round picks this year, two of them, yeah, they better be rip-roaring and ready to go. And I think Michael Penix Jr. is absolutely right that they will certainly be just that when it comes time to suit up at the beginning of the season, which is just a few weeks away now when Tampa comes to town. He also said, listen, man, this team, we did not take these joint practices lightly, and we're sure glad we didn't.
A lot. That's what I'm saying. It's good work. They brought good work. A lot. And like I said, to be able to see another defense, you know, other than our own. And, you know, I feel like we've been game planning on our defense for a while. It was good to be able to go against somebody else and, you know, see different things that could pop up, you know, when it comes game week, you know, week one or, you know, whenever down the road, and just seeing different looks, different pressure looks, coverages that, you know, will work better with certain route concepts that we have. And it was good. And I feel like we put a lot into it, and we definitely took it serious.
But the question is, Oren, is it enough? Because more likely than not, this is going to be the most extensive look that we have at Michael Penix in the first team offense and defense together as a full unit before week one. Did we see enough to say, hey, we're good? We don't need any more of the first team reps. I tend to agree with Miles Garrett. I think just I'm holding my fingers together like a grain of salt apart. Just a little something from the first team. Just
that Patrick Mahomes one drive.
Yeah, just that
like
one
that.
Drive. Just let me see it. Because even, you know, joint practices are great, but, like, you can't substitute being out on that field where there's no – because, like, if you – so here's the thing, Orm. If you've never seen a joint practice, it's not the same as being on the field. The intensity's high, clearly. Look what happened today. But there's coaches all around. It's done in, like, a semicircle with all the teams gathered around. Like, it's not, like, game day operation look-alike. If that makes sense for Falcons fans out there. So, you know, picture the field, picture all the Titans on one side, all the Falcons on the other side, and all the players are on the field, right? That's not what joint practices look like for the scrimmage, for the most part. There's coaches on the field. There's people, you know, in and out of the huddle. Like, it's not just completely, let's just suit them up and go play. They play with intensity, don't get me wrong, but it's not just like, oh, yeah, we're going to simulate a game from pillar to post. Penix Jr. was talking about that contact, though, and he says it's good to get a little prep for the real thing.
You know, for the quarterback, we don't take any hits, you know, in practice. So it's, like I said, it's hard for me to simulate, you know, what that's going to feel like other than just knowing what it's been like all my life. So it's like I'm not really worried about the contact part of it. I trust in my O-line. They're going to protect me. And whenever I do got to make a play to extend a play, you know, I will. And if I got to take a hit to stand in the pocket and make a big-time throw for a touchdown, I'm going to do that too. So it's like I might wake up sore the next morning. It is what it is. That's football. Everybody's sore, you know, but you just keep pushing through it and make sure you take care of your body and, you know, you'll be good that next week.
Yeah, and that totally makes sense. And listen, I don't expect him to, again, be involved in anything like this again for the rest of the preseason, certainly now that the joint practices are over. All right, let's hear from one of the rising stars at camp. D'Angelo Malone made plays in the preseason game. He's been good at practice, good in these joint practices as well. He was on with the middays, and this was their conversation.
I would say the process has been pretty smooth. You know, I always, you know, just dwell on things. You know, like I said, I came a long way, but just being in position right now, I'm blessed. Man, just keep building with the team. It'll be something special.
It seemed like, and this happens in joint practices, it seemed like it was pretty chippy out there. Now, we only got to watch like the first 10 minutes of 11-on-11, but we saw a couple scraps. Was that pretty much the case today? Is that kind of what the vibe was?
Not really. You know, guys just want to impose their will. Guys out there competing. You know, it's highs and lows, but at the end of the day, it's just having fun.
How has it been, you know, because, you know, you obviously this wasn't the regime that drafted you. The GM was, but right. But coming in, having 1 year under Ra, do you see any difference from last year to this year with them in the program?
Not really. I would honestly say, you know, coaches still got the same mindset, coming out there winning, competing. But, you know, it's just coaches just want to win, and that's what it's all about.
D'Angelo Malone joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Practice over for the day. Joint practice with the Titans, day two over. They'll take on the Titans on Friday night. How about for you? Is your role any different in the defense this year, maybe than last year or years past?
Slightly. I would say outside linebacker was my original position, but I'm starting to learn inside linebacker. It's pretty smooth. So instead of going forward, you know, you're going backwards sometimes, but it's pretty fun. You know?
How's that been? Because like you said, you were outside linebacker, moving inside the different keys that you got to key on different. How's that for you?
It's pretty smooth. You know, it's all about just having the right eyes, correct eyes, and just trusting your ability. You know, I feel like the guys we got in the room, Kaden Ellis, Josh Woods, Devon Diablo, those guys are there to help you, like big brothers.
What's the biggest difference? I mean, obviously you have to be an incredibly good football player along the way in order to get drafted anyway. And then you come in and you're sort of used in a specific way. And maybe it's even a compliment for them to say, you know what, we think that you can do this too. We see versatility in you. You could do this too. But what is the biggest difference doing both now?
It's really not a difference at all. I still got the same mindset, go out there, compete, put my best foot forward. But I would just say, like, just with the inside linebacker, you got to make more checks. You got to be aware of your keys. But outside linebacker, you're just going.
Now, you are one of them wild men. I call y'all guys wild men because you led the team in as far as special teams tackles last year, special teams plays.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're talking about playing because obviously you want to play. You have that mindset. I don't give a damn. Put me out there. I'll just go down and run and hit somebody. But talk about your mindset when it comes to them teams because it's always the most overlooked aspect of a football team.
Yes, I would say special team is really like the first player, you know, of the game. It's either it could be first down or you make a big tackle inside the 25. You know, just getting the offense some juice before they go on the field, or defense. It's going to be fun.
How is that new kickoff treating you? Because we know it's a new rule and everything you guys got. How have you had to adjust your game to that? Or is it just beat the man in front of me and go back to play? And also, how is it being on the receiving end of that?
Yeah, honestly, you know, just being your man, it's a one-on-one match. Well, that's if you don't get double teamed. But, you know, I feel like mostly every kick going to get returned or filled, so it's going to be fun. More tackles are going to be made. And, you know, as far as blocking, everything is going to be fun.
I mean, you have to think it's fun in order to do that, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can't be out there like, oh, God. You're putting your body on the line every play out there. How good do you feel like this defense can be? I mean, there's some new faces. It's relatively young, I think, compared to some of the other defenses in the league. Certainly some high young draft picks. What do you feel like the ceiling is for this group?
Oh, man, the sky's the limit for this defense. Just the group of guys we have around, you know, I feel like every guy is coming together. The chemistry is getting there. You know, we got some vets sprinkling in with some young guys, but at the end of the day, everybody got the same mindset. Everybody's eager to get out there and compete and win games.
Last one for me, and it was one of the first questions we gave, actually, when we had you on when you first drafted, talking about, because you are from here.
Yes, sir.
The ticket situation. No problems.
No problems.
All these years, no problems.
At first, it was. You
okay.
Because
I remember talking to you. I said, hey, do they know you got to pay for them tickets?
Right.
All right, so we got to level it out now?
Yes, sir. Like, once I start talking to them, you know, you're getting better understanding. Right. They start understanding.
Okay, good. Yes, that's the one right now.
But at first, everybody wants to come to every game.
Everybody
right?
Everybody
want to
come. Hey, everybody want to talk. Just call him. Just call him, because I know he get tickets for free. Yeah, I get tickets for free, but actually, they're not free.
Right.
But also, you guys know he's getting ready for a game. Like. You've got to get ready to play.
Man.
Pretty hard job to do.
It is.
Let me ask you one final question. And, again, D'Angelo Malone, nice enough to hang out with us after practice. Jeff Ulbrich, new defensive coordinator. We hear everybody talk about the energy that he brings. He says some wild quotes in some of his press conferences.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have a favorite line or a favorite motto that he throws at you guys or whatever, but what has it been like with him with the defense?
Oh, man. Just the day, just, you know, every day he really attacks the day, just the way he go about things, and just his deliverance. I feel like he wants us to be at our best, play together, and play hard.
Yeah, definitely seems that way.
Well, you stay healthy, mate. Yeah, you stay healthy, brother.
Yes,
you really represent, dog,
yes,
man.
Sir, I appreciate it.
D'Angelo Malone there.
Thank you.
Ellenwood Zone, nice enough to hang out with us and chat for a little bit as practice wraps up.
Yeah, again, there's a lot of those guys out there on this team that may not be household names, but are starting to make plays. D'Angelo Malone was a guy that's been on this team for a few years now, and we know that he has a lot of potential, and maybe this is the year that he pops. There's a bunch of guys like that. Rook, Dorless, all these guys that we're counting on this season in order to make big steps, in order to make this defense what it needs to be. How much can Xavier Watts do as a rookie? How much can Billy Bowman do as a rookie? How much are these guys going to be able to just hop out of the gates in year one and make an instant impact on a team that is expected to contend and fight for a playoff spot? And D'Angelo Malone is certainly one of those guys. Coming up next, you'll hear from Chris Blair, another guy, similar vein, that has been around this team for a couple of years now, is a guy that's made some plays both in preseason and in the regular season when he's gotten some limited opportunities. So if there's nothing you can't say about this team, it's that there certainly is depth to go around. Now, I know certain areas like the offensive line, you'd like to have more productive depth than what we've seen so far. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of positions that you can say that there's a lot of people fighting for. And D'Angelo Malone, whether that's as a linebacker or an edge or whatever he's going to play for this team, is certainly one of those guys that's fighting for one of those spots. All right, 1 hour down and 1 hour left to play with you here as we, again, are going to throw it to South Paulding and Kell in the Cork and Kell Dave Hunter Classic coming up at the bottom of next hour. But again, when we get back, Chris Blair, a guy that's made some plays for the Falcons already in preseason, will be looking to do so again on Friday night. What did he have to say to our guys on Dukes and Bell? You will hear that conversation coming up next, plus more from Michael Penix Jr. as well. This is Chris Thomas tonight, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and take us with you on the Odyssey app.